Thank you very much for being with us. This is the monthly meeting of the Triumph Gulf Coast Board of Directors. We are grateful to our friends at the Santa Rosa County Commission for their gracious hospitality and allowing us to use their chambers. We are thankful to be back in Santa Rosa County, where a lot of good things are happening, and we'll hear more about that as we progress through the agenda. We are one director short today. Speaker Benz is receiving medical treatment in Jacksonville right now. The reports are that he is responding well, doing well, and we hope to see him back fully saddled up as soon as possible. But we all keep the speaker in our thoughts and in our prayers as he undergoes his medical treatment and recovers. Ms. Skelton, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Baer.
Here.
Dr. Dana.
Here.
Chair Gates.
Here.
Mr. Lee.
Here.
Mr. Riggs.
Here.
Mr. Terry.
Here.
Quorum present.
The quorum being present for the conduct of business, we're in order. The first item on the agenda is the December meeting minutes. Those minutes have been provided to you. You've had the opportunity to review them. Are there any additions or corrections or deletions as to the minutes? If not, a motion would be in order to accept the minutes as they've been presented. Is there such a motion?
Move approved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Baer, seconded by Mr. Riggs. Is there debate? Is there discussion? Is there objection? Showed adopted. Let's move to the Treasurer's Report. Mr. Riggs.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. In front of you, we have our financial statements from Tipton, Marler, Garner, and Chastain. Again, starting on page two is our balance sheet. Page three is our month-to-date P&L. And then on, I like to look at page seven. So that's our month-ended budget to actual. And again, if we look at that, we are pretty close to budget. We're a little over on some of the grant evaluation costs, and that's just going to fluctuate depending on how many grants that we're looking at in any given time. These were handed out prior to the meeting, so I'll just open it up for board questions.
Are there questions? Questions on the financial statement for the treasurer? Any questions? If not, Mr. Riggs moves the adoption of the December 2019 financial report. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Dr. Dana. Is there debate, discussion, objection? Showed adopted. Mr. Riggs.
All right. Ms. Jennifer Davidson with Tipton Marler is going to go over our 2020 operating budget.
In front of you, you'll see the proposed amended budget. So you have previously approved a 2020 budget. We're proposing a couple changes. There's about seven items that we're recommending to change, mainly due to the contract increases that you approved recently. We had an increase with our computer services and then some of our experts and our staff. Overall, it is an increase in our budget of about $28,000. The largest shift, we are moving some funds that we had budgeted under program administration and compliance. We've shifted about $45,000 of that into grants evaluation cost. So we reduced our program administration and increased our grants evaluation costs, and that's to cover our construction expert, our education expert, and the compliance piece that Tipton Marler is handling.
Other questions on the changes to the budget? Any debate or discussion? If not, Mr. Riggs moves the adoption of the adjusted budget. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Lee. Is there any debate or discussion? Objection? Showed adopted. Mr. Riggs.
All right. And now we have to annually review our signature authority with the bank. According to our policies and procedures, the board will review bank authorization records and confirm or change authorization forms indicating authorized signers as needed. Two signatures are required to make any changes. In the case of separation from the board of an authorized signer, the forms will be changed at the next scheduled board meeting. And I don't know if we're going to have a motion with this or if we're going to have the motion under the appointment of assistant treasurer, but in essence, what we're doing is we have gone through the review to ensure that who is a signer on our bank is a current board member.
And we're actually going to change signers by the appointment of a assistant treasurer. Do I have that right, Susan?
Yes, sir. Okay. What we're doing is we're reviewing what we already have in place, and we're asking for the board to appoint Mr. Lee as assistant treasurer simply for ease of activity, because when we have checks that need to be signed immediately or if we need two signatures, Mr. Lee is in Bay County and is in proximity to our bookkeepers, so that will be for the staff's ease of use. So the request is to approve the authorization with the appointment of Mr. Lee as assistant treasurer.
Mr. Riggs, so can you tell us, leaving aside Mr. Lee's appointment for the moment, can you tell us who will be authorized signers? Or, Susan, can you do that?
Yes, sir. You are an authorized signer, Mr. Chair. Mr. Riggs is an authorized signer. And Mr. Bentz is an authorized signer. We would be adding Mr. Lee as an authorized signer at this time.
Okay. How would you like to handle that, in one motion, or how do you want to proceed?
Yeah, I would like to make one motion to appoint Mr. Lee as the assistant treasurer and give him signing authority.
Mr. Lee, is this acceptable to you?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Second.
Second by Mr. Baer. Is there debate, discussion, objection? Showed adopted. Mr. Riggs, anything else?
No, that's it for me.
I indicated that there are lots of good things going on in Santa Rosa County. There always are. But we are particularly interested in some of the progress, very substantial progress that's being made as to Whiting Field. Board members will recall that Santa Rosa County Commission and Mr. Ogletree came before us early in our process and told us about the need for outside the fence facilities at Whiting Field in order to ensure that repair, maintenance, and overhaul of aircraft that are used at Whiting could be done at Whiting and not have that facility or that service done somewhere else, which could undermine actually our ability to keep the aircraft that are at Whiting at Whiting. And so we approved an expansion of the facilities outside the gate at Whiting with the commitment of Santa Rosa County to recruit companies that would be able to come in and provide the high-paying jobs that were part of the original proposal. And Mr. Ogletree and Commissioner Salter, we understand that you have a report to make to us as to your progress in that area. And Commissioner, it's great to see you. You know, I wanted to know how you're progressing in renaming the field, you know, Pam Dana Field. But anything else that you'd like to share on that topic or your progress at Whiting?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, fellow board members. Welcome to Santa Rosa County, home of exciting Whiting Field and soon to be Whiting Aviation Park. I want to thank all y'all for your support. Most of you know a few weeks ago it was announced that Leonardo Helicopters was chosen for the new Navy contract. They're committed to building a 100,000 square foot facility, hopefully very soon at the Whiting Aviation Park. I want to especially thank Dr. Pam Dana for her extended knowledge of Whiting Field. So thank you and thank all of y'all. And I'll turn it over to Shannon this time. I want to say personally thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner. Shannon?
I want to say, you know, really thanks for believing in this project, because there's no possible way this would have happened without the funding from Triumph. I mean, there was two other competitors looking at this site. two other competitors bidding on the Navy, and they were doing it elsewhere. If this project wouldn't have happened, gotten the funding from Triumph, this project would have been done elsewhere. Like the chairman said, it would have been done. It could have been done in Philly. It would. Someone else, if Bell would have won, it would have been done in Georgia or Alabama, Airbus, Mississippi. So different locations. So we do thank you a lot for having this and believing in us and this project because, like I said, really it couldn't happen otherwise. As Commissioner Salter indicated, the company has committed to building a 100,000-square-foot facility, approximately 50 positions, with about 150 to 170% of average annual wage. This is just phase one. We are talking to them about expanding. Let's see what else we can do here. They're in Philly. They compete with talent. They compete with talent from the Northeast. We've been in conversations with these individuals, the company, and saying, look here, continue to invest here in Northwest Florida into Santa Rosa County. But we got to continue to improve ourselves, not just for the site, but for education. So in the coming weeks, coming months, you may see something else from me in terms of education so we can supply Leonardo and others like that throughout the region for MRO work. So that is my goal there. I just also want to say thanks for, you know, looking at Lionheart today. That's on the agenda. And Lionheart is a medical device company that is looking at 8 to 10 acres at our park, 90 positions, 150% of the average annual wage. And then right behind that is Project Runner. And, you know, I will say a lot. If it wasn't for Erica Grant Cagnola back there in the first row, a lot of this wouldn't be possible. It wouldn't be possible without her and Commissioner Salter because I tell them they take my madness and make it linear for me. So big thanks to Commissioner Salter and Erica for making this happen for Santa Rosa County. So
that's quite all right. So. Your project is denied. No problem.
So,
and Dr. Dana, yeah. I know that when the whole Whiting Field project came up, we were in our infancy as an organization, and you took on the role of vetting it and bringing back your recommendation as to how to proceed based on your knowledge of Whiting and of the industries involved. So, you know, the fact that now we're seeing the jobs come in and we're seeing the facilities being built, I think is a real tribute to your vision to encourage us to do this project. So any comments you might make would be welcomed.
Oh, I appreciate the nice words, but clearly this entire Triumph board, working in concert with the community, understood it to be a good project or a good investment, I should say. And it's precisely, I believe, what Triumph should be investing in around Northwest Florida, these kind of economic drivers, game changers. MRO activity should be a unique niche for Northwest Florida. We see it happening in Pensacola. It's we've got a cluster in Crestview and, of course, right here in Milton. And we need to build upon that. So I'm just pleased as punch that you guys were successful in this first regard, and I expect plenty more successes on your part.
No, you will.
Thank you, Dr. Dana. Anything else that you wanted to share with us about Whiting, or obviously you have other projects on the agenda that will come up later, but anything else on this matter?
No, sir.
Any questions or comments from any board members?
I'd like to make a comment.
Yes, sir, Mr. Baird. Now you're
there
on.
Go. I've worked with Shannon over the last probably, 5, 6, 7 years, and he gives credit to a lot of people for work that he does. There's no doubt that the other folks were very involved and instrumental in this, but he's the guy that's out there doing all the grunt work and really digging and looking for opportunities for Santa Rosa County and for Northwest Florida. And I just don't want to end this conversation without thanking him for the great work he's doing.
Thank you very much, and bring us more good deals. Okay, thank you very much. Ms. Skelton, can you give us a legislative report, please, ma'am?
Yes, sir. The legislative process is moving ahead. The appropriations committees are beginning to roll out their budgets for the 2020-2021 fiscal year this week. And in the Transportation, Tourism, and Economic Development Subcommittee of the Appropriations Committee in the House this morning, Representative Trumbull introduced a proposed committee bill 20-01 to recreate the Triumph Gulf Coast Trust Fund. This is a normal natural process that needs to occur. When a new trust fund is formed, they tend to sunset those after a certain number of years. And then once it's established and functional, they recreate it. This is the recreation process. This bill is protected by the Constitution and cannot be amended with other policy or superfluous additives. So it's a clean bill coming out of Representative Trumbull's committee this morning. That's my report.
Any questions? If not, Mr. Remington, there are, I think, several items that you've been working on in terms of contracts to present to the board. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first matter under the legal report for the board to consider today is a review of term sheet negotiations for project proposal number 207, Gulf Coast State College, and it's the Nursing Simulation Center at the Gulf and Franklin campus. If the term sheet is approved, we've actually have a grant award agreement ready if the board is prepared to move forward that quickly. If the board is not prepared to move forward that quickly, we can approve the term sheet today simply and the grant award agreement later. However, the first item for review would be the term sheet, and this is a grant award agreement again between Triumph Gulf Coast and Gulf Coast State College. The board will recall that we were tasked with moving forward with the term sheet at the December 18, 2019 Board of Directors meeting in Panama City, Florida. The amount of the proposed grant is $2,200,358. The grantee is contributing $1,060,300 to the project for a total project cost estimated at $3,260,658. The purpose of the project is to provide partial funding for the following programs in connection at Gulf Coast State College. One, the Certified Nursing Assistant Program. Two, the Practical Nursing Program. And three, the LPN to ADN Bridge, i.e. Registered Nurse Program. Triumph funds will provide assistance with salaries and benefits. They will help with remodeling and equipping two existing classrooms at the Franklin County campus, and they will help purchase a portable classroom simulator, as further described in the grant award request. The term sheet is consistent with previous education model term sheets approved by the board in the past. There is a provision for clawbacks and performance metrics. The performance metrics identified in this term sheet are: one, on or before August 31st, 2025, not less than 289 students will have obtained industry-recognized certificates in either Certified Nursing Assistant, CNA, Practical Nursing, PN, and or the LPN to ADN Bridge, RN programs. Provided, however, that grantees shall have a one-year extension, if necessary, to achieve the metric. Performance metric two is that the certificate programs described above are intended to be durable and must be continued for at least 6 years after the date of the agreement, using grantees' own funds after Triumph funds have been fully funded and expended. In addition to the performance metrics previously described, the grantee must also satisfy the following performance metric. During the one-year period immediately following the satisfaction of performance metric number one, at least 58 certificates in either the Certified Nursing Assistant Program, the practical nursing program, and or the LPN to ADN bridge RN program shall be obtained. This agreement provides for up to a 100% clawback, and that can be waived, reduced, extended, or deferred in the discretion of Triumph in the future. All of the terms and conditions set forth in this term sheet are consistent with prior education term sheets approved by the board. I'm happy to take any questions or defer to the economic advisor if your questions address those issues.
Any questions for Mr. Remington? Dr. Harper, can you give us the economic analysis that led you to recommend that the board approve this project?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Based on the numbers that council has presented and that are in the proposed term sheet of 289 completers, this is expected to be accomplished over the six-year period with an additional one-year grace period needed, if needed, to attain that number. This works out to be $7,614 per completer. That is somewhat expensive relative to other career and technical education projects that Triumph has funded. But as staff looked at the need for healthcare technicians and professionals in the rural hurricane-impacted counties, our view in looking at the ROI was that a situation may warrant such an investment. We calculated that over a 20-year work-life window, which is relatively conservative, the increment to personal income enabled by the training is expected to yield approximately $10.1 in discounted inflation-adjusted earnings for every Triumph dollar expended.
Other questions for Dr. Harper? Dr. Holdnack is here, president of Gulf Coast. And Mr. President, would you step forward and offer any comments you might want to make about this project, its location, its significance to you, and then members may have questions for you, sir.
Yes, sir. Our service district at Gulf Coast State College is Bay, Gulf, and Franklin Counties. I would like to offer one correction to the statement that was
made. The campus is the Gulf Franklin campus, but it's located in Gulf County, not Franklin County. But it would be in that county. The our service district alone serves six hospitals. All of them have expressed a desire for more nurses. In fact, one of the larger hospitals in Panama City has just announced an expansion, and they're looking for about 100 new medical professionals in the next year. We are the primary provider of all nurses, LPNs, CNAs in Bay, Gulf, and Franklin counties. For employers, along with first responders and firefighters and police, we are the supplier of those kinds of jobs. This will have an enormous boon, we think, in the Gulf County region, both for people in that area that are looking to upscale their jobs and their opportunities for employment and a better life, and then for the entire region, because many of the communities we serve are tiny. They don't have a college campus there. They have difficulty recruiting outside the area to get medical professionals to come in, and this is a way regionally for us to grow our own.
Questions for Dr. Holdnack? I have two, sir.
Yes, sir.
The first is, as you pointed out, and thank you, the location for this project is on your Gulf County campus. And as you pointed out, there are and will be workforce needs for RNs, LPNs, and CNAs in Bay County, but no one can prophesy exactly where people will locate once they obtain a credential. But can you say something about the need as you project it, or maybe Dr. Harper and you together can comment on the need as you project it in Gulf and Franklin counties? Because one of the promises we made was that as we consider projects from the hurricane-affected counties, that first we would get a certification from the county commission that this is an integral part of their economic recovery plan. So we'll ask Ms. Skelton if we have that in hand. But then secondly, as people graduate, where do you think they'll be working, and is there and will there be a need for nurses to work in physicians' offices, in clinics, in the public health department, in the Sacred Heart Hospital that's in Gulf County?
Yes, sir. The Sacred Heart Hospital is located a couple hundred yards from our campus. We actually gave up property for them to build a medical building a number of years ago. We have been in touch with the hospital administrator, who has indicated significant need over the coming years, and would like to build a partnership with us to even do upgrades for his existing personnel. So we'll be able to bring in his LPNs and help them move towards an RN, with them literally being able to walk a couple hundred yards to, in order to be able to take classes. LPNs and CNAs are used in nursing homes all over the region. Many of the nursing homes in our region were closed as a result of the hurricane. People relocated, had to find new jobs, and as they open back up, there are a significant number of openings for employment. That includes the whole breadth of the three-county service district that we have. Healthcare is a big business for our region. The jobs are good paying. You can get you can make a decent living starting out at low end of the spectrum, so you can get a CNA certificate, be able to go to work immediately after about a semester of work. LPN is after a full year of work, and then our LPNRN program is another year after that, so you don't have to go through and get an RN degree in 2 years before you can go to work. You can stop out at several points, go to work, and earn the money that you need for your next educational credential that will allow you to create more earning power for you and your family. We have also talked with the hospital administrators and the surrounding communities, some in our service district and a few outside of our service district, but along the impacted region, who are looking for additional healthcare professionals. Our goal is to have no one leave our region. For any job that we create, that's kind of an important personal issue for me. I'm tired of the brain drain, and so we've focused on jobs in industries that will bring business to our region and have people stay.
And my second question, Dr. Holdnack, has to do with the teaching method. Could you say something about that? It's not remarkable that we would have nurse preparation programs in our state colleges in Northwest Florida. That's fortunately, that's a well-established part of what you and other schools do. But what we are being asked to fund, as I take it, is a simulation center. And can you say something about what's the difference here in the teaching method which gives rise to the need for this grant?
Absolutely. The number one limitation of our ability to expand any of our healthcare programs, but specifically nursing, has to do with clinical locations. And with the result of the hurricane, we lost surgery centers. One of our major hospitals in the region has reduced its staff load significantly. They'll be adding back over time. But the number of clinical sites that we need where a student can go practice their skills that they've learned in class and actually hands on a patient, that kind of thing, have become limited. And that would be a limitation not just for Gulf Coast. That's endemic in the industry, as you know, because you were working in healthcare. All over the state, my colleagues are attempting to do the same kinds of things we're doing to grow their programs. We're just fairly limited in the number of medical areas that we can place people for clinical sites because there's a high level of supervision required in those. The ASIN, which is the National Certification Body for Nursing, has changed their regulations in recent years, and they will allow a student to successfully complete the program and sit for national certification exams if their clinical rotations, 50% of them are met on using high-fidelity simulators. And a high-fidelity simulator is a machine that emulates, mimics, if you talk with one, darn near replaces a person. But with a high-fidelity simulator, you can run students through a number of medical issues, including emergencies, in an eight-hour shift of on a simulator site that you might work 3 or 4 days in a clinical rotation in a hospital, for instance, before you would see the breadth of those things. They don't want, nor would I want, a nurse working on me who hadn't had hands-on experience with a human being But these simulators, when I say high fidelity, we had an interesting experience with one that we already owned, that a new nursing student walked in and was told to give it an injection. And you can give them injections. They breathe, their heart beats, they have pulses. We have one that delivers babies and the like. But this student just walked up to one and didn't say, you know, you're about to get an injection, this may hurt a little bit. They just stuck it with a needle, and it let fly with an expletive that floored everybody. Nobody knew that it would do that, but it has a component of artificial intelligence in it that it has a whole repertoire of responses that are not programmable. They can also be taken over by a teacher in another room that can talk through their body and actually have a dialogue, but they have a whole set of pre-programmed things. We had a board trustees meeting last week in Gulf County at the Gulf Franklin Center, and they brought Alex, which is one of our simulators, and they brought him into the room in a wheelchair, and the board got to ask him questions, and it was not pre-planned, pre-programmed. They asked him, and he responded with what his programming would do. So if you asked him how he was doing, he said he was doing pretty good that day. If you asked him if what brought him there, he said, well, I'm not sure. I haven't taken any illegal substances lately, so I don't think that's it. And everybody's like, okay. Maybe he was using illegal substances before, and maybe that's part of the reason he's here. So it has a whole broad slate of things, but they can go into cardiac arrest. They can have a pulse that you can't find. They can have a vein collapse that you're trying to give an injection to. The capabilities of this equipment is amazing, and it is leading the on the leading edge of instruction in how we train doctors, nurses, and the like.
Thank you, Mr. Barron. I will be down later to listen to the expletives and make sure that we properly vet this.
It was a humdinger. Well, I was asked by the nursing faculty if, because it was not your average word. It was a pretty ugly word. And I was asked if they needed to contact the manufacturer to reduce that word from their vocabulary. And I said to the faculty member, I don't know, have you ever stuck a patient and had them use that word? She said, oh, yeah. And I said, then why would you take it out of the simulator's vocabulary? Because they need to understand that those are no different than patients. When they interact with them, they need to interact with them as patients. And they are so realistic that we actually have to do some deprogramming with students who have a patient that dies because they can get so wrapped up on how real these things are. And when they expire, it really upsets students, and we have to help them understand and take it back in and go, okay, we've reset. Alex is back. Try again. It's better than doing that with real patients. Hospitals tend to get a little upset at that.
Yeah, I guess. Any questions? Yes, sir, please.
Looking at your timeline, it shows that you're planning on construction starting in February. That's really quick. And then ending in August, so 6-month time frame. Do you have contractors lined up?
It will be a modular building, so it will be assembled, not built. We'll buy a off-the-shelf product.
With the remodel equipment room and all that?
We do have contractors lined up for that, yes, sir.
Okay. And they're good with the 6-month time frame?
Yes, sir.
Dr. Holdank, is that what, or perhaps... we could also ask Mr. Remington, is that what leads us to have before us a proposal that we take up the term sheet and the contract at the same time?
Yes, sir. I think that's probably one of the primary reasons. If you look at the budget, they actually had forecast making their first request for grants on February the 28th. And since we're not meeting in February, the board would not have a chance to approve the grant award agreement until it's March meeting. Now it's an early March meeting, March 3rd, but in order to keep the award recipient from amending their budget and to keep them on track, we wanted to at least give the board the option of approving the grant award agreement early.
Is there any view on that matter on the part of board members as to whether with respect to this this project you would be willing to move forward with the term sheet and then a compliant contract at the same time, or do you want to take it in our usual manner You've heard the reason why it's being requested. Any suggestions or comment? Or yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I'm good with moving forward with this expedited. I mean, I think it's our job to get these funds to work as quick as we can, and if we've got a willing and able partner that can get things going, I think that's important. I do have one question after we.
Yes, sir. Please, you have the floor.
And it's directed to Dr. Holnack, and I just wanted to make certain that we've got into a plan to where we're working with the Gulf County and Franklin County school systems to recruit students into this program, and that we've got a strong pipeline of students that will be willing and able to participate in this.
Yes, sir. We don't have a agreement signed yet, but we've already been working with the school districts to set up healthcare academies. We believe that and have some practical examples where students can, we can go ahead and do the CNA training in the high schools as a dual enrolled certificate in one semester. There are a couple of other healthcare programs that may cause someone to become excited about nursing, but it is possible to do the emergency medical technician program in the high school as well. And so we have been working with both the Gulf County and Franklin County schools to see about rolling out those programs in the high schools. They are amenable to anything that we would like to try to support it, and we think that will be an excellent way to recruit. Now, you should understand that we have waiting lists for all of our healthcare programs, which is why we picked this one to move forward with. Because we believe that doubling the size of the program will not have any trouble at all filling all of those slots in all of the programs. We probably have about a 95% placement rate in all of them within 6 months to a year of the person coming out of those training programs. The only reason it's not 100% is some people move out of the area and we don't know whether they got a job or not. It is probably the best success story we have is all of our health sciences programs.
Any further questions? Yes, Dr. Dana.
It's just a follow-up on your earlier question, Susan, about whether the county provided support, and then further on, what county provided support. Susan, do you have that?
I think Corey can speak to that. I believe that they have. And also, I just wanted to add that I had opportunity to speak with Representative Schoaf yesterday, and he was extremely supportive of this project. And along the lines, when he was a board member, is his interest in workforce development. And he said this, similar to what you said about the Whiting Aviation, he said that he felt like this project was exactly why Triumph was put in place, to be able to grow the workforce and the economies of these counties. And so, but I believe Corey can confirm that we have heard from Gulf County on this project.
Yes, at our last board meeting, Mr. Jim McKnight, representing Gulf County, spoke on behalf of the project and also recognized the relationship between the college and the school districts, and this builds upon the programs that you all have put in Franklin School District for EMT and nursing. So they'll have a pipeline now to the college as well.
And our application includes a letter from the Gulf County Commission staff, Gulf County Commission, that says that they support our program.
Dr. Dana.
I'm glad you capped it with that comment, because we, as you know, as presidents, we have asked that a letter from the county, whatever county that is, submit their support and also place them in a priority of other projects that they want to support. So I think it's one thing to go before a microphone, but another to have an official letter. So thank you.
Further comments or questions as to the project or as to the notion of taking up the term sheet and the contract at this meeting? If there's nothing else, what I would suggest without objection is that we vote on the term sheet and then vote separately on the contract. Is that acceptable, Council?
Yes.
Is that acceptable with all of you? A motion would be in order to adopt the term sheet for Project 207, as it has been presented by Council. Is there such a motion?
Motion to approve.
Moved by Mr. Terry. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Lee. Is there debate, discussion? And here we'll take public comment as well. Any members of the public wish to speak to this matter? You may speak for or against this project, or just provide information that you think the board should know about. Any public comment? Any debate or discussion, any further debate or discussion as to the term sheet by members of the board? If not, please call the roll.
Mr. Baer?
Yes.
Dr. Dana?
Yes.
Mr. Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Lee?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Terry?
Yes.
6-0.
Showed adopted. Now let's take up the contract. And Mr. Remington, can you affirm for the board that the contract complies in all ways with the term sheet and with the explanation that you've given us?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I can. The contract is consistent with the term sheet. I would also add that in the event the board was going to take this up, a summary of this grant award agreement was published pursuant to the statute, so the board is free to act on it.
All right. A motion would be in order to approve the contract for Proposal 207 as it's been presented by council.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Mr. Terry. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Lee. Is there a debate or discussion by board members? Yes, sir, Mr. Baer. Any public comment? Any comment for or against, or just for general information about this project? Any final comments by Dr. Holdneck of the college?
Yes, sir, just one. And the reason for the expedited process from our perspective is we wanted to put the money to work as quickly as possible. Because we're an educational institution, we work on a semester basis. We believe that we can have everything ready to go so that we can start enrolling new students in the programs as early as August and then get them into the pipeline. If we were to delay another month, we don't think we can finish in time. It would push the implementation date back to January.
Okay, before we vote, I just have one final question that your comment has triggered it in my mind. You say you have a waiting list for all of your nursing programs.
Yes, sir.
What would it take to just clear that waiting list? Just absorb the waiting list, take care of everybody who's qualified, get them in, get them out.
I'd have to do some research on that, but I can get that back for you. We are maxing out, this grant will max out the capabilities of our Gulf Franklin campus. We do have additional space in Bay County, but we've not made requests to do anything there. It would likely require us to do some expansion in that facility as well in order to provide those additional simulator sites.
Well, I would encourage you to work with Dr. Fuller and Dr. Harper on sort of their view of the evidence need, the information you can provide them. How much need is there? How much throughput is there in the pipeline already without clearing your waiting list? And then what would be the impact of clearing the waiting list?
Yes, sir.
If we're going to think, we might as well think big.
Yes, sir.
Any other comment on this contract as it's before us? If not, please call the roll.
Mr. Terry?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Lee?
Yes.
Chair Gates?
Yes.
Dr. Dana?
Yes.
Mr. Baer?
Yes.
6-0.
Showed adopted. Thank you, Dr. Holdneck, and we look forward to seeing you soon if you have some additional input and suggestions for us.
Thank you, sir. Chair Gates and all the rest of the committee members, thank you so much. We will work diligently to make this one of the poster child projects for your efforts because we think that we've got a real winner here that we hope to beat all of the deadlines that we've now just agreed to.
Good.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Mr. Remington, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next matter before the board is project number 209. And a proposed term sheet approval for a grant award agreement between Triumph Gulf Coast, Inc. and Santa Rosa County, Florida. This grant award agreement is in the amount of $3,484,728. It's intended to provide partial funding for an infrastructure project that will construct approximately 2,300 feet of roadway, a retention pond, and sewer improvements serving the grantee's I-10 Industrial Park. The park would support Project Lionheart. a medical device and pharmaceutical distribution company seeking to expand its operations in the park, as well as future tenants in the park. All is further described in the grantee's application for funding, which is application project number 209. There is matching funds being provided in the form of land contributed at a value of $400,000. The State of Florida Economic Development Transportation Fund is contributing $1,246,415 to the project, and the company has committed to spending $5,185,586 for a total project estimate cost of $10,316,729, of which the total contribution of land, economic development funds, and private money match total not less than $6,832,001. And Triumph shall provide a maximum of $3,484,728. To the extent the actual cost of the project exceeds the aforementioned totals, the grantee shall be solely responsible for the excess. The term sheet is consistent in all other regards with other economic development infrastructure projects approved by the board. There is a clawback provision. 100% of the funds proposed are subject to clawback if performance metrics are not met, and the performance metrics identified by the economic development team are: number one, as of a ramp-up date defined below, not less than 90 new jobs shall have been created and exist at the park. As used herein, the term ramp-up date shall mean a date which is 4 years after the commencement date, and the commencement date shall mean the date which is the earlier to occur of, one, the date on which the project is completed, or the date which is 3 years from the date of this agreement. A new job shall mean a full-time equivalent job that qualifies under the Florida Qualified Target Industry Tax Refund Program, paying a wage that is at or above 150% of the Santa Rosa County average wage as of the commencement date in one of Florida's qualified target industries. And the 90 new jobs described above are intended to be durable. Accordingly, during each consecutive one-year period after the ramp-up period, for a total of 3 consecutive years, not less than 90 new jobs shall be maintained at the park. Consistent with all other Triumph economic development term sheets, Triumph will have the discretion to waive, reduce, or extend or defer any clawbacks if it determines in its sole and absolute discretion that such action is warranted. All other terms and conditions are consistent, as I indicated, with previous economic development infrastructure projects approved by the board.
Other questions for council? If not, Dr. Harper, can you take us through your analysis of this project and your recommendation?
Thank you, Chairman. The project guarantees 90 full-time jobs at 150% of Enterprise Florida's 2019 average wage requirement for Santa Rosa County. And we've heard the details on the match. If we look at the present money value of future wages to be paid over the guarantee period, what we find, using the Enterprise Florida state standard of 10 years of expected job creation and maintenance, then the additional wage income figure stands at $11.35 of present money value of additional wage income per Triumph dollar expended.
Other questions for Dr. Harper? Shannon, if you would come forward, please, enlighten us about why you believe this project should go forward, and any comments you might want to make about the term sheet, the clawbacks, the performance metrics. And certainly, Commissioner Salter, we would welcome any comments you would like to make as well.
Thank you for entertaining Project Lionheart. Eric and I just actually met with the company yesterday to brief them on the upcoming meeting today. So to let Chris know and let the company know what's coming. But He wants to build, the company wants to construct a 100,000 square foot facility at the I-10 Industrial Park. And as mentioned, 90 positions creating at 150% of average annual wage. We are working with EFI and DEO at the moment to pass QTI in that sense. There's a few questions. We're going back and forth. I'm trying to get a LPI, a letter preserving inducement, so we can continue to move forward with this project because the company would like to have ground broken by the June, July of this year for the construction of the facility. So they are on a tight time frame to have this constructed. We are anticipating, if it passes today, take the term sheet back to our board at the next meeting in February for their approval.
Shannon, do I take it that you are still negotiating with the Department of Economic Opportunity and EFI for their participation, or is that locked in?
I would say still negotiating. They emailed some questions last week, and I forwarded it to the company over the weekend, and so the company is answering the questions to get back with the DEO.
Okay, counsel. How are we treating this in the term sheet? Do we have a if-this-then-that provision, as we typically do, so that we're holding hands with the state and stepping forward together, as opposed to a circumstance where we're out front without any assurance of state support?
Mr. Chair, I think Ms. Henderson can explain where we are in the process with the EFI.
All right.
Due to the timeline in the current atmosphere related to the QTI program, we have not counted that as match for this project. The project's match is solely the EDTF, the company, and the county's land contribution, so that whether or not the timeline of that process doesn't impact the Triumph process.
Well, then let me try my question a different way. Apparently, I'm sorry if I misunderstood Mr. Remington's explanation. When you talked about the $6 million in change, that is matching funds for this project, did that include an EFI or DEO commitment?
Not QTI. Not the quick act, not the qualified target industry refund.
I'm sorry, I'm a little thick-headed today. Yes. Let me try one more time. In the arithmetic that you provided, counsel, the $6 million in change, correct, is there any money there in that match that is on the come from the state as opposed to commitments that are in hand?
We have commitments from the state for $1,246,000.
But you have?
Yes.
That's already, they already have that commitment.
All the funds that I mentioned are committed funds.
Would you please press the button? That's all right.
The funds that make up the $10 million total that I mentioned,
yep,
are all funds presently committed to the project, include if the Triumph approves its award.
So the QTI funds would be above and beyond. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, I'm a little thick this morning. Dr. Dalen.
Thank you, Chairman. Shannon, so just to be clear, the county owns the piece of property, and they've agreed to designate that as an industrial park. The request would be for Triumph to invest in infrastructure on that land, you know, sewer system, roads, retention pond. And the company wants to come in and build a facility. Would they have own if at one point they decide to leave? How does that? What do we do with the? Is the infrastructure? Would that be part of their? If they sold the building, would the?
The infrastructure would be on our site, our remaining property. So the 8 to 10 acres that part of the match is I guess, giving it to the company as part of the match toward trying, you know, toward this application. And then the sewer, the roads, the retention pond is off-site that will handle additional companies as we recruit.
Okay, that's an important point because obviously we're not allowed to invest in a private company's building itself. So the fact that it is the county's property that we'd be helping with is important. Has the company committed already to be here, or are they? Is there competition from other locations?
I do want to explain this, Erica. The like I said, we just met with Chris yesterday. The commitment is getting close. It's pretty much there. It's if we can get the sewer, can we get the retention pond to handle their needs at the site? So if we can get this, if we can get this kind of, I guess, wrapped up, then we can get the commitment from the company because the company understood that we're on the hook financially for the 90 jobs, but they're in a partner with us to create the 90 jobs.
Yes, ma'am.
And without the investment by Triumph, the company would not opt to come to Santa Rosa County?
Oh, it wouldn't be possible. It wouldn't be possible for connection in the sewer and the adjacent road that we need to get through the park to actually get to the back of their site. So
it would not be possible
without the Triumph funding.
And so we're being asked today to approve a term sheet, and then on the strength of that, you're hoping to firm up the commitment from the company. And so we're not being asked to commit money on the come, so to speak, because we have another step, and that's a contract.
Yes, sir.
And we would not approve the contract until we see the whites of their eyes.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me just probe a little bit on the question Dr. Dana asked. Who will own the improvements on the site?
We will.
Who will own the building that's being built on the site?
The company will.
And if and when the company decides for some terrible reason to leave Santa Rosa County, who would own the improvements and would financially benefit from the sale of those improvements?
The sale of the building, it would be the company, because it would be the land would be turned over to the company. The company would own the land and then just the private building.
Would any improvements be made by would any improvements that are Triumph funded be on the site, which could then be sold by the company, with the company having the benefits of that sale inure to them?
No, sir. No.
Counsel, can you confirm that?
That is consistent with this term sheet, yes. Consistent with the proposal.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions? Yes, sir, Mr. Lee.
Shannon and Commissioner Salter and Erica, thank you for bringing such good projects to us to look at, and I commend you for working on these. Certainly, your hard work is definitely noted. On the first page, in the purpose, it outlines this as an expansion project. So is that safe to assume that you've got a relationship and know this company to some high level that you have faith in their ability to expand?
Yes, sir. And they're also being vetted through DEO and EFI through the QTI process.
Okay. And on the second page, it kind of outlines this as a warehouse. Is this going to be, and I'm by no means trying to ask any questions that would outline anything that is confidential, but are they going to be manufacturing at this facility, or is it more just warehousing a product and getting to the I-10 corridor to get the product out?
The first phase, in part of the building, they will start warehousing, but his goal is to start manufacturing at that site.
So other suppliers could possibly come to this area due to the need for supplies in the manufacturing of these products here?
Yes, sir. And the company's already kind of alluded to that.
Okay.
Put us in touch with others.
And just back to, I think I'm good with this, but I just want to just reinforce it one last time. The improvements that we're looking to, infrastructure improvements that we're looking to fund today or passing this term sheet would end at the property line. They would not go onto the site that the company would be owning.
That is correct.
And that is a public right-of-way that the improvements will be placed on.
Correct.
Okay. I'm good.
Any other comments or questions? Yes, sir, Mr. Terry.
The $400,000 in the land valuation, is a portion of that $400,000 the site that you are going to cut out for the potential customer?
No, sir. That's actually just the site just for the customer, just for the company. It does not include, does it include the right-of-way for the road? It does not. It's the value of the land for the 8 acres, $400,000, then adjacent to it is the right-of-way for the road.
Okay. And that $400,000 valuation, though, we are using that towards
the match. Correct.
Dr. Dana.
Thank you, Chairman. This is a question for Dr. Harper, and you may have already answered this, but I didn't hear it, if so. In Santa Rosa County, what is the average wage? What would the 150% of average wage come up to?
The project guarantees those 90 full-time jobs at a before fringe benefit average of $52,995 annually, which is 150% of Enterprise Florida's 2019 average wage requirement for Santa Rosa.
So $52,000 before fringe benefits.
$53,000.
Thank you.
Mr. Baer, any comments, sir?
I'm still not clear on the donation of the property. The county is giving that property to this business.
Yes, sir.
And are you? Is the county retaining any kind of lien on that property that guarantees that the business will operate there for any length of time?
Yes, sir. Similar to what the is offered, we have callbacks. I say callbacks, but the company has to guarantee the 90 positions with us also for the property. So
for any extended period of time, or is there no limit? I mean, could they come in, build that warehouse, develop a whatever, and 2 years later sell the building and your property?
It's a 5-year. We have a end of contract. We'll have a 5-year. What do you call it? Performance measure, I guess.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions? Any other comments? Yes, sir, Mr. Lee.
And my question kind of came to mind after Mr. Terry's made mention. Is the value of this property based on an as-built scenario, or is the property today worth the $400,000, or is it worth $400,000 once the road gets in there?
The value is at $50,000
an acre. Okay.
So that's what, at raw land, $50,000 an acre. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and it's approximately 8 acres that were gifting to the company to build the facility, so that's where the $400,000 came from.
Okay.
But it is the raw land.
That is the raw land value of it as it stands today, not as improved.
Correct.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
How did y'all come to that valuation? Did y'all have it appraised or CMA?
No, sir. That's a value that we put on the property maybe 6 or 7 years ago, and it's just stood at that.
What does the county property appraiser have the current property currently assessed at?
That I don't know. I would have to look. I don't know.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, ma'am.
Just as a matter of process, I want to remind members that this project is still under the NDA. It's under the cloak of anonymity. And we would not go forward with the grant award agreement until the project is announced. So this is a step towards that, and we are hopeful that we'll be able to do that in March. But again, we have to wait until the project is announced so that you will be able to have the name of the company in front of you when you take a final vote on a grant award.
Thank you very much for that clarification. Mr. Terry, are you satisfied with that we have a full understanding of where the land value came from and that it is an appraisal that would stand to scrutiny?
Well, I just, you know, you could say that your property's worth $2 million, and I could say it's worth $1 million without having actual documentation of the value or current value of the property. It's a little bit difficult to understand. It could be worth more. It could be worth less. But without an appraisal or CMA or going through the proper channels to value that property, it's very difficult to say it's worth a certain amount.
Shannon, is there an appraisal that was the genesis of your characterization of this land as worth $50,000 an acre? Did somebody do an appraisal?
No, sir. I mean, there was an appraisal maybe 8 to 10 years ago when the county purchased the property, but I'm sure that's way too old. But no, sir, after the county purchased the property, a value of 50,000 an acre was set and passed by the Board of County Commissioners for sale. But there has been no CMA or property value evaluation on it.
Well, we're kind of in your world here, Mr. Terry. Do you have any advice for us?
You can't value property without having a specialist of some sort, realtor, broker, appraiser, county assessor, give you the value of the property. So it's tough. We're kind of blind at taking a value with no documentation or support for it.
Commissioner Salter, would there be any difficulty in getting an appraisal of the property so we know whereof we speak?
There would be no problem, but when we purchased the property, 2007, 2008, it was appraised at that time, and we purchased 90 acres for $3.2 million. I don't remember exactly what per acre, but that's what we paid for it. 90 acres, $3.2 million. But if we need to get another appraisal, we'll be happy to do so.
Mr. Terry, would you be comforted with an appraisal? Is that what you'd like to see before there's a contract in front of you?
I would like to know what the property is valued at. I would. I mean, there's so many factors that could go into play. If it's landlocked, if there's wetlands on the property that really are not contributing to the entire site, there are items that would make me feel definitely more comfortable about the valuation. Yes, sir.
Dr. Harper.
Thank you, Chairman. When we calculate the return on the Triumph dollars invested, the basis that we use is actually the wages that are committed to be paid over a certain time period. Here, the value of the property is matched that's contributed by the county. And so regardless of whether an appraisal came in at $30,000 an acre or $70,000 an acre, it would not affect the return that we measure on behalf of the Triumph Board, because that's based on the wages to be paid, discounted back to present money value, over the period that those jobs are guaranteed.
But it would it not, affect our calculation of matching funds?
It would affect the value that is reported for matching funds. An accurate way to report that would be the donation by Santa Rosa County of an approximately 8-acre parcel to be used by the company to construct their facility. And that would be a dollar value free measure of what the match is.
Right. Well, we appreciate your willingness to have an appraisal done, and I think you see that there's some interest on the part of the board of making sure that if this property is used for matching funds, that we know how much it should be calculated for. So between now and the time the contract would come back, unless it's a terrible burden to you, it'd be good to have an appraisal.
We'll do.
All right.
Thank you.
You have before you the term sheet. We've had an opportunity to discuss aspects of the proposal. Are there any more comments or questions? Any more comments or questions? Public comment. Is there any public comment on this project? for it, against it, or just general information. We're happy to hear from the public with any comments you might have. Seeing no public comment, a motion would be in order to approve the term sheet with the proviso that prior to the presentation of a contract, that a, how should we state it, Mr. Terry, a qualified appraisal?
I would assume a broker's opinion of value or a certified appraisal.
Could you state that a little bit small?
Yes, sir. Either a broker's opinion of value or a certified appraisal.
Okay. A motion to approve the project with a proviso as articulated by Mr. Terry would be in order if there is such a motion maker.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Mr. Riggs, seconded by Mr. Baer. Is there further debate or discussion? If not, please call the roll.
Mr. Baer?
Yes.
Dr. Dana?
Yes.
Mr. Yates?
Yes.
Mr. Lee?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Terry?
Yes.
6-0.
Showed adopted. Counsel, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next matter before the board is project number 213, a proposed term sheet for a grant award agreement between Triumph Gulf Coast and Florida's Great Northwest. The amount of the grant proposed is $440,000, and the grant would provide partial funding to implement a research and marketing agenda targeted at diversification, enhancement, and recovery of the 7 disproportionately affected counties identified in the Triumph Gulf Coast Trust Fund enabling statute. The project has 2 parts, research, analysis, and vendor management under the research tag, and secondly, marketing and business development. With the chair's indulgence, I'd like to seek recognition of the financial advisor to explain this project in more detail, since it's a unique and the first time we've had a project of this sort.
Of course.
Thank you, Chairman. This project, as Council mentioned, is somewhat unique in that it is not to provide career and technical education to a specific set of students, nor is it to provide public infrastructure to be constructed that carries with it a job guarantee. Instead, it's intended to give the Triumph Board the tools that we very much need to do more in-depth and granular assessments of labor market conditions across the 8 counties. And to that end, the project envisions labor supply and demand analysis and also return on investment analysis to be conducted that would let us place a tighter range of confidence interval around our wage estimates for particular occupations and let us estimate with more precision the extent to which there is unmet demand for particular occupations in the region. And thus, to do that, there are a number of activities that are proposed. First, there's delivery of labor supply and demand analysis to Triumph, and this is conditioned upon Triumph staff satisfaction and participation in research management, and that would trigger funding. The term sheet envisions requests coming in as soon as a contract would be signed, were one to be signed, that would fund the ability of Great Northwest to have this research conducted. And labor and supply and demand analysis conducted to Triumph staff satisfaction would call for funding of $30,000 following execution of the agreement, with an additional $30,000 to be funded after acceptance by Triumph of the completed study. The rest of the deliverables also have that structure where Great Northwest requests funding. However, half of the requested funding is withheld until the project is delivered, always to Triumph staff satisfaction, with the provision that clawback would be implemented if the activities are not completed timely or if they are not completed to the satisfaction of Triumph. So
There are a couple of variables. As Council mentioned, labor supply and demand analysis, and then to complement that, a more detailed level of analysis, return on investment assessment for particular certificates. This particular task of return on investment analysis relies on access to the very detailed data that school districts report to the Florida Department of Education, because those districts draw down career and professional education, CAPE Act funding, in proportion to the type and number of certificates that they award to their students. And thus, those data exist. And if we can get access to Florida Department of Education data warehouse information, we will be able then to use the data on what certificate has been awarded. And, of course, the education data warehouse contains, based on employers' reemployment assistance tax reports to the state, it contains information about the wages earned by those certificate completers, and we will be able to use that then to accurately estimate the value of individual certificates rather than relying, as we do currently, on a more general statement that across the state as a whole, entities such as OPAGA and EDR report that graduates with certificates on average earn this much more than graduates without certificates. Thus, it will allow us a much more granular approach to labor market needs across our eight counties. That's the basis for requesting funding for labor supply and demand and ROI analysis. Then, once that information is available, it will be used to develop marketing materials by Florida's Great Northwest, which is the third activity which is proposed. And those marketing materials, again, with Great Northwest requesting some funding in advance and some funding once delivered to the satisfaction of Triumph staff, marketing will permit people such as Santa Rosa County, Team Santa Rosa, to go out and market the region, such as Scambia County and Scott Luth's team to go out and market the region with information about what occupations exist in what quantities in the local areas, what programs exist to meet labor market needs for those occupations, and what businesses could expect to pay for that qualified labor. In staff view, this project has a good value to Triumph, and to quantify that expected return on investment to Triumph of funding this research and marketing effort, we turn to research done by the Florida Legislative Office of Economic and Demographic Research, EDR, as part of their legislative mandate enacted in 2013 to conduct studies of the effectiveness of various state economic development incentives. Among those efforts, they've evaluated the return on investment to Visit Florida advertising. They've also calculated return on investment to a project which is very similar to the infrastructure investment projects that Triumph funds, which traditionally has been called the Quick Action Closing Fund, which makes cash awards to support development of jobs as measured by job creation commitments. And using the Quick Action Closing Fund return on investment calculated by EDR, if we are then able to better market our Triumph grant availability using and can expect that same sort of return which Enterprise Florida and DEO get on their Quick Action Closing Fund expenditures, staff calculate that our return, again, based on net new Florida personal income, would be $24.7 per dollar of Triumph funding expended based on EDR calculations.
Questions? Mr. Riggs.
Yeah, Dr. Harper, I mean, am I correct in saying this is going to help us identify the gap between the supply and demand for a given job, profession, career in our area?
That's absolutely what it's intended to do. We will have, with this project, a collection of job forecasts that are based on national and state level
forecast to the extent that our region reflects the reality of state and national labor markets, but individualized for our local area and the particular sector concentrations that we have here and the associated occupations that go along with those sector concentrations that include things such as defense contractor jobs, for example, or marine activity jobs, for example. So we will have a much more thorough picture of the occupational supply and demand as well as the occupational outlook for those positions.
Yeah, I mean, at our last meeting, I was excited to talk about this project because this just gives us some hard data to support other people's conclusions, right? I was meeting with Okaloosa County's Superintendent Marcus Chambers, and I was talking to him about opportunities in K-12 and what we got to do to identify the areas of need in our area and try to tailor some of our education towards that. And I mentioned this project, to him. And my hope is that all the school districts are able to help use this data, because again, it starts in K-12, and then there are certifications they can get through K-12, and then there's secondary education. So, my hope is that we can leverage this data, and not only to potential employers and all that, but starting from the base of our K-12, and also our universities, and help them give some guidance on, okay, here's the real supply and demand for these types of jobs.
That's what it's intended to do. And as you suggest, if we were to recruit a new firm with 90 jobs in a particular sector or 1,300 jobs in a particular sector, then we can use the economic models to work the problem from the end backwards, saying for this particular type of industry sector, what are typically the occupational requirements, and so we can go above and beyond the requirements to that firm that is guaranteeing the direct jobs and also look at what sorts of occupational demand we can expect from the supplier, from the supply chain to that business, so that we can give our economic developers better information about what firms in the supply chain they should be targeting to recruit to meet to collaborate with the firm that has just announced.
Further comments? Who is here representing Florida's Great Northwest? Ah, there you are. I didn't see you over in the corner. Not at all. If you could just identify yourself for the record and your position, and then offer any comments that you might want to offer.
There we go. Scarlett Funnough, Chair of Florida's Great Northwest, and we appreciate the board's interest in this project. We are excited about the opportunity. Workforce is the number one consideration of a company when they're evaluating an area, and we've never had an opportunity to launch a full-scale workforce marketing and research campaign. I think we've done a really good job of marketing our other assets in the area, sites, buildings, incentive programs, programs like Triumph Gulf Coast, but we've never had an opportunity to devote full-scale resources to marketing our workforce. And I'd like to recognize other Florida's Great Northwest Executive
Please.
Committee members. John Daniel with Beggs and Lane is here. He's our legal representation for this process. And also Cheryl Rayberg, CareerSource Escarosa, is here.
Great. Thank you for being here.
And Mr. Chairman, if I may give you a brief update on
Please.
Florida's Great Northwest. So the last time we were before you, thank you very much for your kind words and recognition of Kim Wilmes and her impending departure from the organization. We have been embarking on a search to find our new president and CEO. We hired a consultant that has a specialty in the economic development space. We've received over 30 resumes with very impressive candidates, which I think was a compliment to the organization. We have a search committee who has identified our top candidates, and we'll be conducting interviews in a few short weeks. We hope to identify our next leader and bring them on board sometime in the March timeframe, about the time that we would be looking at a contract with this board if you choose to move forward.
Any questions? If not, thank you very much, and thank you for being an applicant and for being interested in partnering with us on this.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Is there any public comment? Any public comment by any member of the public on this project? For it, against it, or just to provide information? We are on proposal 213. Yes, sir. Mr. Riggs.
Sorry, Dr. Harper. Are you going to own or have, are you going to have any ownership of any of this process, or is this all on them?
Yes. The term sheet states that Triumph staff will need to be satisfied about the quality of the work that is in here, and so Ms. Henderson and I will be looking both at the economic analysis as well as the marketing materials that are proposed to be constructed, as Ms. Faniff just described. So, yes, the project deliverables are payment is always contingent upon Triumph approval. And so in that sense, it's different from our other projects where we're looking at attainment of a certain number of certificates or attainment and maintenance of a certain number of jobs.
Okay. I just want to make sure you have at stake in this deal.
All right. Mr. Lee.
I just had a quick question as it pertains to, you know, in the term sheet, it kind of outlines a three-year plan here. And I know that once we, you know, we've never had any data like this for our region, and working with our folks in Bay County, I know that our workforce is sometimes our biggest make or break issue, whether we win a project or lose a project. And I agree that something like this needs to be done, and it's certainly a missing link right now throughout certain areas. But if, you know, we're investing in 3 years worth of this, what can, will this data continue to be updated past the 3 years, or what do we have to do to continue to keep this current so that after 3 years we just don't lose this? How do we continue to or build upon it and not have to reinvent the wheel again?
My expectation is that this program that Triumph is considering is really a model for how workforce development boards, how other economic development entities ought to be collaborating with Florida Department of Education data warehouse and the people that do the analysis that can get done. Florida has the best education data warehouse on the planet, yet access is very, very limited. And if we could show how that data can contribute to Florida's high-quality economic growth, then my expectation is that our task 2 years from now, 3 years from now, will be to present it to the legislature as a program that they should invest in, because it will return many times its cost in economic value for the state. I don't know who would undertake that research, but it's eminently doable, and it's something that we ought to have in place for the state.
Thank you. And thank you, Florida's Great Northwest, for bringing this forward.
Further comments or questions? Comments or questions? I think we've called for a public comment, but if there is any, we, again, always happy to hear it. If not, you have before you term sheet, the term sheet for proposal 213. If you adopt a motion today, you would be directing council and Triumph staff to negotiate with Florida's Great Northwest for a final contract that is that fulfills the term sheet. Is there a motion to adopt the term sheet? Moved by Mr. Baer. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Riggs. Is there further debate or discussion? If not, call the roll.
Mr. Baer?
Yes.
Dr. Dana?
Yes.
Chair Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Lee?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Terry?
Yes.
6-0.
Showed adopted. And Council, one more.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One more matter before the board in the legal report today. And this has to do with project number 29, which is a Wakulla County School District project. This was previously approved in a grant award agreement entered into by the Triumph Board on July 23rd, 2018. The project commenced after July 23rd, 2018, and has encountered some issues as a result of Hurricane Michael. So this matter is back before the board for some minor adjustments to the grant award agreement as a result of Hurricane Michael. And I'd like to request the chair recognize Ms. Henderson to explain the amendments.
Ms. Henderson.
Following the review of Dr. Fuller and Randy, our architect construction expert, they have concluded that they have agreed with Wakulla School District's analysis that there will be an increase in the total project cost. Wakulla County School District has spoken before you over the past few months about this, and they have decided to take on the full increase themselves, but due to the way the agreement is structured, you still have to approve the total cost increase, which is just over $1.45 million. So there was no additional cost to Triumph. The school district is going to utilize future construction dollars to make up the difference.
Other questions? Mr. Terry, this is your neck of the woods. Do you have anything to add or any questions about this matter?
No, Mr. Chairman, other than we know that construction costs as well as timelines are just astronomical right now, and it's very difficult to really get in a project and change it, but unfortunately that's what we're seeing up all along the coast in areas that were affected. So it's great for them to take this on and not come ask us for any more dollars, but at the same time I just hope that everything continues to move forward as planned and there's no more hiccups.
Thank you very much. Ms. Henderson, are there any, or Council, are there any changes in delivery time or any other metric here that we would be interested in?
There is an extension in the completion date of the project, which is reflected in the amendment.
Could you articulate that for us, please?
Yes. The completion date would be amended and changed to December 31st, 2022.
Instead of the current date, which is?
2020.
I believe it's 2021.
Oh. So it's a one-year extension, to complete the construction. Is that a fair statement?
I believe that's what it was. I'll verify that.
Comments? Is anyone here from the Wakulla School District who would like to speak to this?
They did have a conflict, and were at our previous two meetings.
That's okay. No problem. Are there any questions? Any discussion? Is there any public comment? Any member of the public wish to speak to this issue? Up, down, or just to provide information? If not, please call the roll. I'm sorry. A motion would be in order to approve the changes in our contract with the Wakulla School District Career and Technical Education Center as described by Council and by Ms. Henderson.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Moved by Mr. Terry. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Lee. Is there a debate, discussion? If not, call the roll.
Now, Mr. Terry.
Yes.
Mr. Riggs.
Yes.
Mr. Lee.
Yes.
Chair Gates.
Yes.
Dr. Dana.
Yes.
Mr. Baer.
Yes.
6-0.
Joe adopted. Ms. Henderson, your report, please, ma'am.
As of last week, you have received 214 pre-applications totaling just over $1.6 billion. One of two new pre-applications that Dr. Fuller will discuss with you further over the next few months include expanding A&P certification programs across the region. There was a request pre-application in from Wakulla County in partnership with Lively Tech, and another one from Northwest Florida State College for the Crestview region to start expanding into expanding the A&P programs.
What's
the A&P? I'm sorry, airframe and power plant. So for the MRO providers. Additionally, as of last week, you've received 78 applications totaling over $616 million. Your most recent application is from the City of Mexico Beach for an artificial reef. Triumph staff continues to work closely with applicants, pre-applicants, grantees, and interested parties on future projects. We have also been working to put together the Hurricane Michael Skilled Labor Recovery Fund. Again, Dr. Fuller is not here, so if you'll pardon Dr. Harper and I as we go through this. We have put together an application for your review that is intended for the technical schools to be able to apply for the Fast Track Program for training in carpentry for electricians, HVAC, plumbing, and pipe fitting. Each school district slash technical college, since most they are operated by their school boards, can submit an application for one or multiple of these programs to be reviewed by staff and then recommended to the board. As a reminder, you last board meeting approved $1 million for the fast track certifications and an additional amount of up to $20,000 per school district to hire a recruiter to help make sure there are interest in students for these programs, as well as covering some necessary supplies and materials for some of the programs. Additionally, for the program administrator report, just like Wakulla School District, we've been working with the Walton County Sheriff's Office. There have been a number of cost increases related
Henderson, before we move on to the next topic, are there any questions about where we stand with the Fast Track training program? I have one. How fast is the track? You know, when do we move from preaching to meddling here? When
are we going to? Dr. Fuller has begun conversations with a number, if not all at this point, of the technical schools in our region. And so it's a matter of getting the applications in and getting them comfortable with what the process is. And we hope over the next few months to get these started.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
We had originally talked about having this in the schools April through August. But in further consultation with Dr. Fuller and the reality of getting the applications back and reviewed by staff and then brought to the board, he felt like it was more comfortable to talk about a May through October time frame for the training itself, the six-month training period. So that would mean that we would be back to you in March with applications from the technical schools for review and approval, and then they would be able to start the program in May.
Great. Have we made direct contact with every single school district in the affected counties, particularly on this matter?
We believe so. Dr. Fuller is in the field even today.
Okay.
And he's making that outreach, and I believe he's reached at least in the affected areas, and I believe he was meeting yesterday over here in West Florida. I think Mr. Bear can confirm he was meeting with some folks in Pensacola yesterday, but I think in part of that field trip he was going to meet with the state college here, or the technical school, Georgetown.
May I please recommend that we also send a letter? Because paper doesn't forget, and sometimes amnesia sets in school districts. I know I used to be a superintendent. I can tell you that sometimes people conveniently or inconveniently forget.
Yes, sir. We'll work with Dr. Fuller to put a letter together and have it sent.
And I apologize, Ms. Henderson. Anything else on this matter before we go forward? Is there anything you need approval on, Ms. Henderson, or are we just going forward?
Mr. Chair, it's your decision point, but we could either have a separate motion to approve the application that's in your packet, or we could approve the application as part of the program administrator's report, if you'd like a separate motion.
Without objection, we'll just do it all together, unless anybody has a problem with that. Okay, Ms. Henderson, I'm sorry. Walton County Sheriff.
We have been working closely as a team with the Walton County Sheriff's Office, again, Randy Lewis, Dr. Fuller, Dr. Harper, and I, to help them maneuver through the cost increases post-Hurricane Michael that they are seeing as well. And we expect to be back before you with their amendment at the March meeting where they also will seek to shift around some budget categories, but does not cause an increase to Triumph's participation. They will also look to cover the cost through their own programs and the ability to shift some of the funds we've already provided to them.
Any questions?
Yes, ma'am. I did want to remark because going into this, they were talking about a multi-million dollar increase in their costs, and our staff team has been able to work with them and get that cost reduced to zero. So I think that's commendable that our staff was able to do that. And I want to thank Corey and Randy in particular for the work they've done there.
Very good. Thank you. Anything else, Ms. Henderson?
I'd be happy to answer questions, or if there are any issues that you would like us to work on, we'd be happy to do so.
Any further input from Ms. Henderson? We thank you for your good work. Dr. Harper.
Mr. Jim.
Oh, yes, sir.
Do we want to approve Ms. Henderson's report?
That's a good plan. That's a good plan. Thanks for keeping me on task. Mr. Lee moves. We approve the program administrator's report as presented verbally and in writing. Is there a second on the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Baer. Is there a debate, discussion, show to adopt? And now, Dr. Harper.
Thank you, Chairman.
I apologize. Thank you, Mr. Lee. Bankers always keep me, well, try to keep me straight.
We continue to work with existing applicants to make progress on issues that have been identified by the staff and by the board on their proposals and move them forward. We've certainly had meetings with several of the larger proposed projects over the last number of weeks to help them move forward. We have no new items that need approval from the economic advisor's report at this time.
Any questions for Dr. Harper? Any questions? Ms. Henderson, I apologize for taking this out of order. I do have one question about the Fast Track program. Are colleges eligible to participate if they want to make a proposal?
At this time, your motion only includes the technical colleges, which are the school district entities.
Dr. Holdnack, should you be qualified? Do you have an interest in this? Or... All right.
Mr. Chair,
yes,
Dr. Fuller had requested that in the first instance that we keep it at the technical school level. I don't know the reason for that, but he had a professional reason for keeping it at that level in the first year. We'd need to go back and discuss with him what his reason was.
Yeah, let's hold out the prospect in our March meeting of depending upon Dr. Fuller's rationale of including our state colleges as well.
I don't know what it was, but I know that he was very specific in wanting to stick in the first year with this level.
Okay. I like the word fast track, and fast track means line them all up and go, as opposed to any other way. But we can wait till March with that. Anything else for Dr. Harper? If not, we've reached the point in our agenda where we take a public comment on any topic that might come before the board, and any member of the public wish to speak to the board on any matter affecting Triumph Gulf Coast, please come forward, ma'am. And if you would just, for the record, indicate your name and address, and if you'd represent anybody, let us know that.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, board members. Amy Miller with the Port of Pensacola, 700 South Barracks Street, Pensacola, Florida. I wanted to come today and just reacquaint you with the Port of Pensacola's pre-application that exists in your system currently, and let you know that our hope is that we will be moving forward with a full final application sometime this spring. As Dr. Dana aptly pointed out, MRO activity is a great niche for our region. And we believe that at the Port of Pensacola so much that we've been involved in what we call marine MRO activity since about 2010, and it's grown year after year. You may have seen the good news in the press recently that from 2018 to 2019, the port's revenues nearly doubled year over year. That's in large part due to our marine MRO activity at the port. Our pre-application is for general infrastructure repairs and improvements and upgrades at the port that will allow not only our existing marine MRO lessee and tenant to grow their business at the port, but will also allow us to market our facilities to other businesses involved in the marine MRO sector. Basically, When we receive the Triumph grant, we will be able to, and I'm confident that we will be able to basically double our capacity in that industry niche. Through these improvements, including upgrades to some of our berths and docks, upgrades to electrical, et cetera, et cetera. So we look forward to bringing that project forward to you all, hopefully in the spring. We're re-evaluating and reviewing the budget because, of course, things have changed over time. But as it stands right now, we think it's a pretty good deal. It's about $22 million total, with the Triumph ask being a mere $8 million. So we think it's a good deal for the Triumph Board, a good deal for the community, and builds right off of the kinds of activities that you all have been supporting all along. I will tell you that the delay in us bringing forward our final application was in deference to Pensacola Airport. We didn't want to steal any of their thunder. We didn't want to take any of the attention away from them and from their projects because we certainly felt that that was, on the scale of things, with the city of Pensacola's projects at least, the most important, and we wanted them to get theirs through before we came to you. So now we're prepared to do that, hopefully in the spring, and we look forward to talking with you more about our project. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Any other member of the public wish to address the board? Please come forward. Could you hit the button?
Thanks for the opportunity to address you. I'm Jim Muller with the Bay County Board of County Commissioners, and just wanted to say Bay County and its municipalities are recovering from Hurricane Michael, made great strides. We've got a long ways to go. We really appreciate Triumph's concern and actions on behalf of the Hurricane Michael impacted area with the ad valorem replacement support, and we're looking very much forward to the fast-track certification. We have a lot of rebuilding to do, and I think this is going to be an important aspect to help us help ourselves move forward. So thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks for your good work. Any other members of the public wish to speak? I'd be happy to hear you. Any other public comment? If not, any final comments from board members? Mr. Lee?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Riggs?
Thank you.
Mr. Baer? Dr. Dana?
Yeah, I do.
Yes, ma'am.
I have this a technical matter. Susan, there's a Florida statute 288-0-whatever confidentiality.
That's,
and then there's something to sign.
That's because you haven't.
Oh, is it
that,
me
it's
alone?
Just you. Yeah, okay, I'll talk to you mind. After the meeting.
Thanks are in order to the great work of the staff, Chairman.
As usual. Thank you, Dr. Dana. Mr. Terry, counsel, Dr. Harper, Ms. Henderson, are we okay on the money side over here? Mr. Baer moves your eyes.